On this special episode of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, recorded at the 20th Annual Ohio Association of Ambulatory Surgery Centers Conference in Columbus, Ohio, we talk to the leaders of the association about the issues facing ASCs in Ohio and review activities of the Ohio Association over the past year.
Welcome to the ASC Podcast with John Gailey, a biweekly podcast for anyone interested in the freestanding ambulatory surgery industry. This episode is sponsored by Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies. The ASC regulatory environment is increasingly challenging, but organizations that outsource their regulatory oversight to Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies have an edge. AHS works with ASCs to oversee their quality improvement, risk management, emergency and infection control programs, run their meetings, develop education programs, and always be prepared for surveys. Welcome to episode 37 of the ASC Podcast with John Gailey for Monday, September 17th, 2018. We're recording from a remote studio at the 2018 Annual Conference of the Ohio Association of Ambulatory Surgery Centers at the Hilton Polaris in Columbus, Ohio. This is Sue Cronkite, Senior Nurse Consultant with AHS. I'm here with John Gailey. And for anyone new to the podcast, John is the owner of Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, and he's written several books about the ASC industry and often speaks on ASC topics at conferences around the country. And you're actually giving a talk a little bit later today about governance.
That's correct. Can't wait.
Yep. So we're at the Hilton Polaris, as I said. It's a beautiful venue for this. We've had a great time.
I love Columbus, Ohio. It's just a very nice area, and we're certainly in the heart of things. And this venue has been great. They've given us a nice place to work, very quiet, shall we call it, studio, with all of our equipment here. So hopefully this sounds pretty good. And several of our clients are here, which is always nice, and it's always great to meet old friends at the conference. I got to tell you, also, this is one of the best vendor shows I've seen in a bit. Of course, we have a booth here also ourselves, but we get to meet our all old friends because we've been here for a couple of years. So we're recording on the beginning of the second day, and we're going to be interviewing some of the leaders of the state association in a little bit here. But I just thought we would talk a little bit about what we've seen so far. I'd say probably, Sue, the biggest news coming out of this was Kara Newbury, who is a regulatory counsel for the ASC Association. And she stopped by the booth before she did her speech and said, "Did you hear about what happened on Monday?"
I know. That was surprising because all those other things came out a while ago, and they just threw these extra few in.
Well, and we've been on the road, so we didn't even see this, but we need to talk about them here, and we'll talk about it in a regular episode. But for this special episode, I would mention that Kara noted that CMS has proposed some, what we'll call some pretty sweeping changes to the requirements of ASCs. Yeah. The first one is a real whopper here, which is to remove the requirement for transfer agreements for hospitals. And what they're basically saying is that EMTALA, which is the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, really requires hospitals to take any patients that come in an emergency situation. And that often we're having some problems in some state. And I know in Ohio, this is a problem also, that, getting hospitals to sign transfer agreements. Now, the problem with this particular change is that it's not going to change the state's requirements. So, for example, in Ohio, the state still requires you to have a transfer agreement. So, unless the state changes that based upon what's happening federally, it's not going to really affect
the
state.
Yeah, well, hopefully some will follow suit, though.
Correct.
Because that makes sense, I think. That, it does. That otherwise, there's a lot of political stuff that can go on and, you know, it can make it difficult.
Especially in those small communities where the hospital just absolutely refuses to contract.
It gives them a little more power to control what happens.
I think my biggest concern about this, and Kara mentioned this on the platform also, is that not all of our cases, as a matter of fact, very few of our cases are transferred for emergency situations. Mm-hmm. So we don't know if this is actually going to help in those situations where patients transit. For example, if they're in there preoperatively and we find that they have a cardiac condition that they really need to go to the hospital mm-hmm. for, and we haven't even touched them really other than to monitor their heart rate. So that's not an emergency situation. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the hospital will still take them. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah, and a lot of centers just might be more comfortable anyways just having that transfer agreement. There's no reason not to have that.
That's right. The second one is also a pretty big one. That's they're proposing removing mm-hmm. the requirement for a comprehensive medical history and physical assessment. Now, what they're wanting to do here is to replace it with requirements that defer to a certain extent the ASC policy and operating physicians' clinical judgment to ensure patients receive the appropriate pre-surgical assessments tailored to the patient and the type of surgery being performed. I kind of interpret this as meaning that we will never see another history and physical
in the surgery center. Making a lot of people uncomfortable, I think.
Yeah. I mean, certainly we know surgeons, especially those like, ophthalmologists feel that, you really don't even need a history and physical, that they're really doing very little intervention medically on the patient. Mm-hmm. I think that the ASC Association is probably not going to be very looking favorably on this. Plus, it doesn't really, the optics of it, as Kara said, isn't really good. It doesn't make us look good, if we have a much lower standard than the hospitals have for that same thing.
Yeah, you really don't want that. It does say the operating physician must still document any pre-existing medical conditions and appropriate test results in the medical record, do more focused assessments.
Right.
But still, as you said, it's nice to just know that we still have those same requirements.
Right. I think where this is really helpful is in those small local cases where there's really no medical intervention. It's just a small removal. Or laser cases such as a YAG laser after a cataract surgery, which really is, a five-second procedure, which we've all known doesn't really require this comprehensive history physical, but to remove it in general for everybody, I think is kind of dangerous. Yeah.
And maybe they're thinking that it would allow more time to do that more in-depth but focused assessment as opposed to focusing on the other areas that
you always want to play the devil's advocate, don't you?
I do. Trying to think of the reasoning for this, but then they really have to clearly think through what could be affected with this. It's not just the one area of the body, but depending on the medications or the sedations.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, is that maybe emphasizing the critical nature of the procedure being done mm-hmm. could be helpful if it were done right. The last new set of changes is in emergency preparedness, and I'll tell you, for me, this is great. We know that when the new emergency preparedness rules came into place, there were a number of them that were quite overwhelming for surgery centers. So CMS is looking to reverse some of those, including review of the emergency plan every 2 years instead of annually, removal mm-hmm. of the requirement that you train people every year would now be every 2 years, elimination of the requirement that facilities document their efforts to contact local officials regarding their emergency plan. And however, this doesn't stop the need for them to coordinate with them, but mm-hmm. For some reason, they're saying that they don't need to document it.
I know. That seems kind of...
It does seem odd.
That's unusual.
And then probably the biggest thing is reducing the testing exercise to one per year instead of two, which has been quite onerous, which has been, very difficult. Mm-hmm. So what they would replace it with is that you would either do a live drill the first year, and the second year you would do a tabletop drill. And they also had they started using the words, which we don't know quite what it means yet, a workshop that includes a group mm-hmm. discussion led by a facilitator, which if it is what I think it would be, could be a very effective way of doing that. So very.
Yep. Now, they did say that they are exempt from one of those exercises if they have a live emergency.
That's correct.
They can count that.
Actually have an emergency during that period of time, which all of those that have been affected by the most recent hurricane mm-hmm. will probably be grateful for, would be exempt from that.
So let's take a short break and come back with an interview with Randy Leffler, the executive director of the Ohio State Association. Randy is going to tell us about the activities of the Ohio State Association over the past year and what's going on with this conference.
John and I are here with Randy Leffler, the Executive Director of the Ohio Association of Ambulatory Surgery Centers in Columbus, Ohio, at the 20th Anniversary Conference.
So congratulations, 20 years.
20 years, yeah, and I've been here for half of them.
Incredible.
So yeah, it's been an amazing ride for me in that respect because it's a great organization. They very dedicated people, as they are across the nation, but between board and members, just awesome people to work with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know all your board members. So yeah. They're great people.
Yeah,
great,
absolutely.
Great to work with them. So tell us a little bit about this year's conference. I know this is your most successful yet, and it's 20th anniversary. So.
Absolutely. We've continued to grow. When I first got here at the association, we probably had maybe about 70 or 80 people that would attend and a couple day conference and maybe do like a half day pre-conference. This year, we're probably up to 250 over the course of the 3 days. We had 150 people at our infection prevention pre-conference, which is great considering our Department of Health is really focusing on patient safety and infection prevention. So it was very well attended. And we're very excited that we had a lot of first-time attendees. We probably had, I would say 75, 80 first-time attendees between the 3 days. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
And you're one of only, actually, I think, two states that do an in-depth infection control program for preparation for ASC, basically make sure you're meeting the conditions for coverage.
Well, and obviously CMS has those, but our Department of Health, as part of licensure in the state of Ohio, really are focusing on it as well. And they just, within the past year or so, have wanted us to focus on things that could potentially be Ohio-specific, not necessarily that they would be Ohio-specific, but things that they have found within ASCs that are commonalities, so that they're looking for that when they go in as well in the inspections. So,
which is a good segue into my next question, which is, what have been the major activities of the association this past year?
Well, in addition to the things that we do normally in terms of services and cost-saving programs that we have, obviously, we're focused on advocacy and lobbying, being with legislators, meeting with regulators. It's all about the relationship business with this. And so making certain that folks know what ASCs are. Obviously, regulators know for the most part. Sometimes legislators have no clue.
Right.
And it's interesting, I mean, because we try to get legislators out to centers all the time. And I think a lot of them sort of think that they're just a part of the regular local health system, hospital system, whatever, when they get there and they see that, no, that's a separate entity often, and what they do in the efficiency and how well customers or the patients are treated. It's a very eye-opening experience for them.
Absolutely. So what if you've had some legislative issues this last year?
We have, yeah. There's been a few issues that have come up, and we're dealing with – there's always issues in terms of reimbursements and those kinds of things through Medicare, Medicaid, and our Bureau of Workers' Compensation. Those are always things that we're working on. A couple of legislative issues that have come up. There's legislation regarding some cost issues in terms of providing patients with cost data before their surgery. So making certain what the legislation requires is that they provide not only their cost data or how much the cost is going to be to the patient, but also how much it costs to do the procedure for the ASC and then also what the ASC is going to be reimbursed. So there's a lot of nuances there that can be quite complicated.
Yeah.
And the even bigger challenge is that you have to provide that at least a week at this point. The legislation says at least a week in advance. So adding on procedures in that time frame, it would be prohibited. Yeah.
Right.
So those are things that we're working on. Also have some additional legislation that puts additional requirements on ASCs to, and not just ASCs, but all healthcare providers that, you know, that we're just trying to make certain that we're mitigating issues that just put on added layers of regulatory burden on the centers. Because they're short, I mean, unlike other healthcare providers, you know, there's a handful of people, maybe even less than that, that are really dedicated to making certain that all of those boxes are checked.
Right.
Whereas in other settings, there might be
entire department,
a whole division. So that's where when we go and advocate and talk to them, I mean, they're small businesses.
Right.
And Ohio in particular, it's that when you start talking that kind of talk, it's very well received. Right. So,
well, and I think one of the challenges and that we remind our listeners all the time about is that, you know, we often talk about the federal regulations here because we're a national podcast, but in each of the states, and particularly Ohio, and in a couple areas, you know, you have very specific regulations. For example, here you have a regulation requiring, you know, every 2 years to renew your transfer agreement, and many places are not even required to have a transfer agreement if the physicians are part of
it. Yeah, and it has to be either a brand new agreement every 2 years, which can be challenging, or they do have the option. We were able to negotiate with our Department of Health that they can do an addendum to that.
Right.
But there's no such thing as an evergreen agreement
anymore.
No. So, which, you know, is a challenge for folks. But fortunately, they've been, I think, by and large, they've been able to accomplish it. And I think the addendum part of it, without having to go through an additional legal review by the hospitals, has been helpful. So,
Tori and Susie, two of your board members, talked about the benefits, and they're raving about, you know, all the different things that that they get as a result of membership, including which I think is fantastic. Your benchmarking, really one of the best benchmarking programs.
Yeah, and you know what? And it's a great program. It was actually started well before I even joined the association, and it was really all built by the members in terms of they met regularly, they came together, they said this is what we want. So it's an online system that's part of membership. It's free to members to do it. And it gives them not only information related to where they are versus other centers in the state, but it also regionalizes it so that they can see, you know, in Northwest Ohio, Northeast Ohio. And it's been very successful for us, and it's a great membership tool. And it's so good. I'll give a shout out to my counterpart in California. They actually are using the tool that we built. So,
absolutely.
so yeah, Beth in California saw the value of it, and they moved forward with it. So.
And interestingly, I'm working in New York. We're looking at that same product in the future, too.
Good.
Randy, so this is great. It's good, great news about your membership. How do you become a member, though?
Well, you can go online. We have a Join Now button on our website. All the information about membership is there. So anybody can go and look at the information, see what the rates are for membership, or they can contact us at either email or by phone. And the email is info@oaasc.net. Or the telephone number is 614-358-0177.
And we'll put references on our website to that also.
That's great.
Thank you so much, Randy. This has been a pleasure.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much, John.
Let's take another short break, and we'll come back and meet with some of the members of the Board of Directors of the Ohio State Association.
John, you have several books that our listeners may be interested in.
Yes. The first one here, which is this big tome called The Survey Guide for ASCs, a guide to the CMS conditions for coverage and interpretive guidelines for ambulatory surgery centers, 2017 edition. This is the most current edition of the survey guide, and it basically takes information that includes all of the conditions for coverage and the interpretive guidelines and various clarifications published by CMS and puts it in one book with a really nice index that helps you to find the answers to your questions about the regulations in ambulatory surgery centers very quickly.
Yep, everything's easy to find, and it's sort of explained a little bit.
That's right. There's notations, author notes in there to make things a little bit easier to understand. Mm-hmm. And the second book is called Ambulatory Surgery Center Governance, a Guide to the Ambulatory Surgery Center Owners and Governing Body Members, which I wrote in 2015 to provide owners and administrators information about how governance works in an ambulatory surgery center and what responsibilities that owners have. So if you're interested in either of these books, please go to www.reg-books.com. That's reg-books.com. And you'll be able to pick them up at a very nice rate.
Okay, thank you. So John and I are here at the Hilton Polaris in Columbus, Ohio, at the Ohio Ambulatory Surgery Center Annual Conference, and we're talking to Tori Collette, Chair of the Ohio State Board, and Susie Walton, a member of the board also.
So welcome. Thank you for coming. You're very reluctant speakers, by the way. I just need to tell our audience. So somehow we got to make you feel more comfortable behind those microphones. I know the setup is a little intimidating here. But
that's a very true statement. Yes. Looks way too professional for me. Yeah.
So Susie, let me start with you, because just before we went on the air here, you were saying that you actually were one of the founding members of Ohio. And having been the founding member of New York State, I can appreciate what you went through. So tell us a little bit about how this came about.
So 20 years ago, yeah, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary this year, which is mm-hmm. so exciting. We met in a Hilton hotel somewhere. It was very intimidating because it was all of the local hospitals. It was all of the surgery centers that existed at the time, which weren't very many in Ohio at the time.
Yeah.
Because we were one of the first. And so you're sitting across the table from your competition, even, and deciding whether this was a good idea to start an organization or not. And none of us had any experience doing an organization. Right. And we lucked out finding Strategic Health Partners at the time to run the organization for us. We have met some of the most amazing people, you probably have the same experience with yours. Over the 20 years, ASC people just are amazing, and they're genuine, and they help each other.
Right.
Yeah.
So those intimidations went away really fast, and we decided to form the organization, and we haven't looked back. We have gained momentum every single year. I think this year our conference is the highest attended ever, which is very exciting. And the advocacy that we've been able to do over the years, just sitting back and watching, and we've been really reflective the last couple of days of all the accomplishments and everything we've seen. The landscape change in the 20 years. It's just really exciting.
Yeah, this is incredible. And we've been here 2 years in a row. We've been here off and on 2 years as an associate member. Mm-hmm. So, Tori, you and I have been friends for a long time, 10 years now. Yeah. And you are the current chair of the board. So tell me how that experience has been for you.
Okay. Our ASC opened in 2008, and we joined the Ohio Association that year. And that first year, I just kind of came to the conference and did my own little thing and sat in the back and listened. And over the years, then a couple of years into it, I joined the board and worked my way on up to the chair this year. And I can tell you, Susie's absolutely right. This has been the best experience for somebody new, especially starting in the ASC world, coming straight out of surgery. And all I knew how to do was assist.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and then they put me at a desk and tell me to run this place. This association, being able to reach out to people like Susie and like Barb Draves, who helped start this, was amazing because they told me how to do it without telling me the way it's written in the rules.
Yeah.
You know, those rules, I don't know how anybody can really truly read them.
Right.
And that's why they're misinterpreted all the time. But working with these guys has been amazing. Over the past year, being the chair with Randy, we've talked about a bunch of legislative stuff, and price transparency was one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I asked Susie if she would sit in here with me, because I know she's working on it real hard, and I know that's something that's going to come and hit the rest of us here soon.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about palliative care, and that's going to happen in Ohio. The burden of trying to pick out somebody that needs palliative care when they're in your center for an hour. I mean, how would I even know if you need palliative care if you're only here for an hour?
Yeah.
Right.
Without, you know, possibly scaring you thinking you do need palliative care now, you know?
Yeah.
So I think the association is something that will help anybody that wants to give a little bit of time to actually learn some things from these people that have done it for 20 years plus.
What do you think are the benefits of, you kind of mentioned them, but what are the other benefits of being a member of the Ohio Association?
Well, networking with your peers, I would say, is my number one benefit of it. The second benefit is the benchmarking.
Yes.
Yeah, the benchmarking is wonderful. It's free. It's part of your membership, for one thing. And I think it helps to know that your peers right up the road are doing the exact same thing, mm-hmm. or where they have trouble. You know, you might say, oh, wow, we're having the same trouble.
Yeah. So. Well, and you and I share that data periodically from mm-hmm. The benchmarking. And you have probably one of the most powerful platforms, too, for gathering the information and reporting it. Nice reports that come out of it. It's a great system.
Yeah.
So,
I enjoy doing it every quarter.
And the good news, too, is that you can segment the information by specialty and by region within the state, too, which mm-hmm. is very helpful. So,
yes.
I think from an educational standpoint, this event is obviously our big annual event. There's infection control hours immediately built in. So you're not having to send someone to APIC or something else, and it's customizable. Alethea did it again this year. Alethea Dean was amazing.
Yeah.
And she also is a surveyor. So she has inside information about what the most frequent in Ohio Department of Health, I will give them a shout out.
Yeah.
They were very generous. You know, it's public information, but they're mm-hmm. very generous with us and have a great relationship yeah, with yeah. us to be able to share what the most recent citations are yeah. and the most frequent ones. So they can customize the education for how it makes the biggest impact in Ohio, mm-hmm. whether it's life safety or right. whether mm-hmm. it's infection control. But also we do regional meetings. And I love the regional meetings because I think they're so intimate, where you actually get the networking. So if you're not someone that's been around the industry and been around the association for all of these years, you actually get the opportunity to meet people face-to-face where it's not as intimidating mm-hmm. as the 200-plus people that right. are here,
yeah.
here now,
yeah.
And actually get to have practical information. I mean, we did stuff on active shooter. We've done stuff yeah. on emergency planning, real practical things where we're all not recreating the same right. wheel. And mm-hmm. we can share ideas and share where we're having hesitations or where we're having great successes and sort of feed off yeah, each other, which absolutely. Is awesome and gain some momentum. And the cool thing I think about our organization that we had fears of 20 years ago was we represent everything. I mean, we have single specialty. We have multi-specialty. We have joint ventures with hospitals. We have management companies. We have every structure to include totally freestanding. And everyone is so helpful of yeah. each other, which is just beautiful. It's one of the nice things about the ASC community overall. But
absolutely. It's very exciting to be here. And mm-hmm. congratulations on your 20th anniversary. See, you did very well. yeah. Once you start talking about what exciting things
what
are
we love.
yeah. Makes one, it a little easier.
One last question, though. What do you think is the biggest challenge facing or biggest challenges facing Ohio State ASCs?
For us, it has been retirement of our
yeah.
our medical staff and trying mm-hmm. to find new people to come in, especially in a small area like we are in, yeah. in Worcester, Ohio. Pretty much you either go to the hospital
yeah.
or you go to the hospital in the ASC. You know, these physicians are hired by the hospital, so they can't come to see us,
right.
you know, even if they'd want to. The other big thing in Ohio is just if you're not part of a group that helps you or having a John that helps you, is just keeping up with all these yeah. changes. Mm-hmm. I mean, every day there's a new change. And like when Kara did her thing, the thing yeah. that she put into our handouts was completely changed right, because just things happened yesterday.
Yep. Just on
it's
Monday.
Like, yep. oh, okay. So it's just so fast, everything going yeah. on in the yeah. industry.
And it's hard. You know, one of the things that I've found over the last couple of days is, like you mentioned, the transitions. Everybody's going through transitions. Mm-hmm. Older administrators, shall we say, are moving on. And the longevity of administrators is not as long as it used to be. So mm-hmm. we find a lot of turnover, people not staying as long as we've seen in the past. So
yeah, we've had a couple of people come to our booth saying that they were just put into this leadership position and they really aren't sure even what the next step is, especially nurses moving into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So being part of this group and having people that can answer your questions, I think is invaluable.
Yeah, no, it's
it helped me a lot 10 years ago.
Oh, it helped me immensely 20 years ago. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah. ASCs were on the West Coast.
Right.
They weren't in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
we were all learning as we went because the industry didn't exist. And it was invaluable to learn together and grow mm-hmm. together. Yeah. I think also in Ohio, I mean, it's my pet peeve, but the transparency, I've been fighting for this for 20 years and yeah. it's just gaining momentum.
yeah.
But we actually have a legislator here in Ohio that went in for a C-section with his wife, who's younger.
Yeah.
And they asked for the price 4 or 5 different times before they went in and they could not get the price.
Oh. Yeah.
And then they get done and it's $20,000, $30,000 and he had sticker shock big time.
yeah.
So he has legislation that he's a dog with bone. He
yeah.
wants this passed and he wants it passed for the right reasons and for protecting the patients. So we're actually, it's our surgery center's 20th year anniversary this year yeah. as well. I have a public event coming up October 28th that I'm going to be educating the public on how to shop for quality and cost in healthcare. Not a plug for the surgery center or the ASC industry overall. Will help yeah. all of us.
Right, right.
But it's really the patients have no idea. Even when I go and talk to referring physicians, they have no idea that it costs a different amount of money, even with my same surgeons,
yeah.
to go from one place to another site of service or between CAT scans or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So this is our year at our surgery center of giving back after yeah. 20 years. So we're trying to do a lot of public education this year. Uh-huh. But we've seen Florida already yeah. be mandated for transparency, New Jersey as well. So I think our board, we were discussing just the other day.
We were.
We've stayed pretty neutral up to this point, but we're trying to figure out how we get ahead of this and
yeah.
we design what it might look like for transparency, uh-huh. where it's still manageable in the ASC setting. to be able to provide versus it having mandated from legislators that don't live this world.
That's why you have some level of control over the way it actually ends up looking.
That's what we're hoping for.
Yes.
That sounds great. Thank you so much, Susie and Tori, for your time. This has been great.
No, thank you so much. Take care.
This podcast is an educational and operational tool and is not intended to be a comprehensive resource for all the rules, regulations, and standards that an ambulatory surgery center must meet. The advice provided should not be considered as, nor does it constitute legal advice or opinion. When reviewing specific situations involving legal and regulatory issues, attorneys and other professionals should be consulted. This has been a production of Eden Group Development, all rights reserved. We would like to thank this week's sponsors. First, Ambulatory Healthcare Strategies, one of the nation's leading regulatory compliance and financial oversight firms. For a free consultation, contact John Gailey today at 585-594-1167 or through email at info@ah-strategies.com. And Eden Group Development, which publishes ASC Regulatory Compliance Series, the ASC industry's leading books, including The Survey Guide for ASCs, A Guide to the CMS Conditions for Coverage and Interpretive Guidelines for Ambulatory Surgery Centers, and Ambulatory Surgery Center Governance, a guide for ambulatory surgery center owners and governing body members. These must-have books are available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble or directly from the publisher at reg-books.com. That's reg-books.com. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring the ASC podcast with John Gailey, please email us at info@ascpodcast.com. We would love to hear your questions and comments. Please email us at comments@ascpodcast.com.